أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
After reciting the Tashahud, Ta'awuz and Surah Al-Fatiha, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih V, Ayyadahullahu Ta'ala Binasrih Al-Aziz, stated, the reason for the expedition of Hamra al-Asad and its background was mentioned in the previous Friday sermon. When the Muslims learned of the enemy's plot to attack Medina after returning from the Battle of Uhud, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, called for Hazrat Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and told them about the statement of the Mazani companion, who had informed the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, about this. Both these companions submitted that, O Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, let's proceed towards the enemy so that they do not attack our children in Medina. When the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, finished offering the morning prayer, he called the people together and said to Hazrat Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that informed the people that the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, commands them to set out for battle against the enemy. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, further stated that only those people will join in this battle who took part in yesterday's battle, that is, the Battle of Uhud. Then, with regards to the flag bearer for the Muslims and the appointment of a deputy to oversee Medina in the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's absence, it is written that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, called for the flag to be brought to him, which was still rolled up since the day before when they had returned from Uhud. It had still not been opened up. And the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, gave this flag to Hazrat Ali, and according to another narration, he gave it to Hazrat Abu Bakr. On this occasion, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, appointed Hazrat Ibn Maktoum as the Emir of Medina in his absence. Historians have written that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him's decision to leave Medina in pursuit of the enemy was an extremely wise one. It's written that according to the hypocrites, setting out in pursuit of the enemy the very next day after the loss of 70 men during the Battle of Uhud, and without any extra manpower, was an extremely dangerous move for the Muslims. However, the events that transpired afterwards demonstrated that the decision of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was indeed a very wise one, which proved beneficial for the Muslims in many ways. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had spent the whole night assessing and reflecting on the situation following Uhud. And he suspected that the disbelievers, on their way back to Makkah, might say that they didn't take any real advantage despite gaining the upper hand. And since they would be feeling regretful over this, therefore it is possible that they may return and attack Medina on their way back to Makkah. Thus, whilst adopting an excellent military strategy, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, decided to pursue after the enemy. And so, this decision of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sent the confidence of the Muslim soldiers sky high, while making the hypocrites become overawed by the unshakable conviction and determination of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Thirdly, when the enemy learned that the Muslim army is on its way to pursue them, their fire of confidence waned to a flicker. This is a note from a book of history. The chief of the hypocrites, Abdullah bin Ubay, also sought permission to join and go along with the Muslim army. And so he came to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and asked permission if he could join this expedition, even though he had abandoned the Muslim army at the Battle of Uhud, taking 300 of his men along with him. Undoubtedly, he must have been ashamed over his actions, and now perhaps to try and redeem himself, or God knows best, perhaps it was under some other plot, since you never know with hypocrites. But in any case, he came to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and asked him for permission to join with him. However, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, declined his request. Regarding the remarkable examples of those companions who, despite being injured from the battle at Uhud, but still came forward to answer the call of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, it is written that as soon as the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, made the announcement, the sincere and selfless companions, out of their love and devotion, who were still tending to their wounds, were ready to go forth once more carrying their weapons. When the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, made this announcement, they departed immediately. Hazrat Usayd bin Huzayd, who had sustained 9 wounds, had only just made the intention of applying ointment on his wounds when he heard this, and he immediately made his way and did not even stop to apply the treatment to his wounds. Similarly, there were 40 companions among the Banu Salama tribe who were injured, and they also left at once. Seeing them follow his instructions even in that state, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, prayed for their forgiveness and supplicated that, O Allah, have mercy on the Banu Salama. It is also mentioned that Tufail bin Numan sustained 13 wounds, and Khirash bin Simma sustained 10 wounds, and Ka'b bin Malik sustained over 10 wounds, and Qutba bin Amir sustained 9 wounds. But despite all this, the Muslims rushed towards their weapons without even stopping to apply ointment to their injuries. God Almighty has recorded this unparalleled passion of the companions of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, in the Holy Quran, so that people could forever pay tribute to them. God Almighty states, الَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْقَرْحُ لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا مِنْهُمْ وَاتَّقَوْا أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. That is, as to those who answered the call of Allah and the Messenger after they had received an injury, such of them as do good and act righteously shall have a great reward. Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha used to say that one of the embodiments of this verse was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, as well as Hazrat Zubair bin al-Awwam. Then there is mention of Hazrat Jabir bin Abdullah seeking permission to go alongside them for this expedition. It is mentioned that the announcement of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was made that only those who had participated in the Battle of Uhud could join them for this expedition. And this was strictly enforced. There was, however, a fortunate and sincere companion who, despite not having participated in the Battle of Uhud, was granted permission to accompany them, and that was Hazrat Jabir bin Abdullah Ibn Ishaq. And Ibn Umar have stated that Jabir bin Abdullah went to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and submitted that, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, your caller announced that only those who were present in the battle yesterday, that is, the Battle of Uhud, can go forth with you. And I desire to participate in the Battle of Uhud, but my father left me behind to look after my 7 sisters. Or according to another narration, he had 9 sisters. In any case, he stated that my father said to me that, O my son, it does not behove you or me to leave these women without a male. And I fear that these women are weak. However, I cannot give you precedence over myself in participating in the jihad alongside the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. His father stated that I do not wish to leave the women alone, and I also desire to participate in the jihad, so I desire to go and you remain. And so, stay here with your sisters, and I shall accompany the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, in the jihad. For this reason, whilst following my father's instructions, he said that I was unable to participate in the jihad yesterday. Otherwise, I also fully intended to. Thus, after listening to Hazrat Jabir's words, which were infused with love and passion, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, granted him permission to participate in this expedition. And Hazrat Jabir used to recount with great pride that aside from me, no other person accompanied the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, who did not participate in the previous day's battle. And many people who did not participate in the previous day's battle asked the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to accompany him, but the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, denied them. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, departed in such a condition that his blessed face was wounded, his blessed forehead was injured, and his blessed tooth was broken, and his lower lip, or according to other narrations, both of his lips were wounded from the inside. His right shoulder was injured due to the attack from Ibn Qamiyah's sword, and both of his knees were wounded as well. First, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, went to the mosque and offered 2 nawafil, and the rest of the people had already gathered. And then the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, asked for his horse Saqab to be brought to the door of the mosque. In this expedition, only the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had a horse. When the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, departed, he was wearing his armor and helmet, and only the eyes of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, could be seen. During this time, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, met Hazrat Talha bin Ubaidullah, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, asked, that Talha, where is your weapon? Hazrat Talha replied that it is very near. After saying this, he quickly went and brought his weapon, even though he had 9 wounds from the Battle of Uhud on his chest alone. And totaling all the wounds on his body, he had over 70 injuries. Hazrat Talha narrates that more than my own injuries, I was worried about the injuries of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, came towards me and began asking that, where do you find the enemy? Meaning, where do you think Abu Sufyan and his army are right now? I submitted that the area in the lower terrain, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, responded that this is what I think as well. Then the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated, insofar as they, i.e. the Quraysh, are concerned, they will not be given the opportunity to do this to us ever again, to the extent that Allah the Almighty will conquer Makkah by our hands. And according to another narration, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that, O Ibn Khattab, the Quraysh will never be able to do this to us ever again, to the extent that we will kiss the black stone, i.e. Hajr al-Aswad. Sabit bin Salba Khazrmi was appointed to show the way for the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to help him reach Hamra al-Asad. And according to another narration, Sabit bin Zahak was the one who showed the way. Both narrations exist. At this instance, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, dispatched 2 companions to go ahead of them and gather intelligence. And according to the details, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, sent ahead the 2 sons of Sufyan, Salid and Numan, who belonged to the Banu Sam branch of the Aslam tribe, to gather information. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, also sent a third person from the Banu Uwair branch of the Aslam tribe. However, his name has not been mentioned. Two of them saw the Quraysh at a place called Hamraul Asad, and the Quraysh were speaking to one another, and as soon as they saw them both, the Quraysh killed them. When the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, departed along with his companions and reached Hamraul Asad, he set up the camp for his army. He then buried the two companions in a single grave, as the bodies were still lying there, and they were both friends. During this expedition, there is also mention of the obedience demonstrated by two Ansari companions, and how they travelled by foot despite their injuries. It is mentioned in the details of this incident that Hazrat Abdullah bin Sahal and Hazrat Rafi bin Sahal belong to the Banu Abdul Ash'al tribe, and upon returning from the Battle of Uhud, they were extremely wounded from the battle, and Hazrat Abdullah was most severely wounded of the two. When both brothers heard about the commandment of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, with regards to taking part in the expedition towards Hamraul Asad, they said to one another that if they did not take part in this expedition alongside the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then they would be greatly deprived of this opportunity. Such was their level of faith. They also expressed the fact that they did not have a mount they could ride upon, nor did they have any idea of how to accomplish this task. But upon this, Hazrat Abdullah stated that, "Come with me, let us walk there." Hazrat Rafi replied that, "By Allah, I do not even have the strength to walk owing to my wounds." Such was their condition. His brother then said that, "Let's slowly walk and go towards the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him." And so they both staggered along. And when Hazrat Rafi felt extremely weak, Hazrat Abdullah would carry him on his back, and at times he would walk himself. They were both wounded, and whoever of the two felt a little better would then carry the other on his back. And in this way, they continued walking in order to reach the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. At times, their condition would be such that they couldn't even move due to severe weakness. But eventually, they reached the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, by the night. At the time, the companions were lighting a fire. In other words, they had already set up their camp. They were both presented before the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and Hazrat Abad bin Bishr was appointed to stand guard for the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, that night. When they arrived, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, asked them what had prevented them from coming earlier. Upon this, they both explained the reason and mentioned all the details. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, prayed for them and stated that if you both are granted a long life, you will find yourselves being granted with horses, donkeys and camels as mounts. That is, although at this time you have come by foot while stumbling and falling, however, if you are given a long life, then you will witness this all for yourselves, and all of these different kinds of mounts will be granted to you. But along with this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated, however, these will not be better than this journey you have made at this moment in time by walking and stumbling across to reach it. In other words, their reward was far greater than even the best bounties of that time. It is also mentioned that this incident was with regards to the sons of Hazrat Anas and Munis Fazala, but it is possible that this incident occurred with both of them. Then there are also details with regards to the provisions of the Muslims and the generosity of Hazrat Sa'd bin Ubadah. The details of this are as follows. Hazrat Jabir bin Abdullah relates that the main items of provision for the expedition of Hamraul Asad consisted of dates. Hazrat Sa'd bin Ubadah brought 30 camels and dates, which were plentiful for them to reach Hamraul Asad. The narrator of this tradition has also stated that two or three camels would be slaughtered each day from the camels that he brought, and at times they would also eat camel meat in addition to the dates. Then there are also details with regards to the strategy adopted by the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, in battle, and how he overawed the enemy. And so, one of the ways to strike awe and fear in the hearts of the enemy was to light many fires in the night, in order to show as if it was a large army, and thereby causing the enemy to become fearful. Hence, wherever the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would set up camp, he would instruct the companions to spread out and light fires across different places. And so, each person would light his separate fire, and a total of 500 fires were lit in different places, and it could be seen from far. Subsequently, the news of the Muslim army and its fire spread far and wide, and through this Allah the Almighty caused the enemy to become overawed. It is also mentioned that Ma'bad Khuzai met the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, during this time, and he also went to Abu Sufyan and warned the Quraysh of the Muslim army. The details of this account have been mentioned as follows. Ma'bad bin Abu Khuzai, who was still an idolater at the time, met with the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And although there are some historians who state that he accepted Islam on this occasion, however, a majority of the historians say that he did not accept Islam at the time, but did so later on. Both the believers and the idolaters from among the Banu Khuza'a tribe were very sincere towards the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And they had promised the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, that they would not hide anything from him. Ma'bad stated that, O Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, the hardship you and your companions have had to endure is hard for us to bear, and we desire that Allah the Almighty elevates your rank and protects you from every hardship. Upon this gesture of compassion, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said to Ma'bad that, break the resolve of Abu Sufyan. In other words, you are travelling on, and so when you meet him, then instill fear in him. But how he was going to do this was something that he had to decide for himself. Thereafter, Ma'bad left for Makkah, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, remained in Hamra al-Asad. Ma'bad met Abu Sufyan and his comrades in Roha, and Roha is situated approximately 40 miles from Medina. At this point, the army of the Quraysh had decided to go back in pursuit of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. And they claimed that they had already killed the best men and the leaders among the Muslim army. However, that was not the case. Apart from Hazrat Hamza and perhaps a few others, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Usman, and Hazrat Ali radiyallahu anhum, and many other commanders and leaders remained protected and safeguarded by the grace of God Almighty during the Battle of Uhud. In any case, they claimed that they had left before they could completely destroy them, i.e. the Muslims. However, they would now return and destroy the rest of their people, and in this way they would become free from them. When Abu Sufyan saw Ma'bad, he stated that this is Ma'bad, he must have some news. And so he asked, Ma'bad, what is the situation over there? In order to scare Abu Sufyan, Ma'bad replied that Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and his companions had formed such a large and formidable army in pursuit of you, the like of which I have never seen before. He further stated that the people of Aws and Khazraj who were left behind have now also joined. He made some of these details up from himself, and he then said, they have taken an oath that they will not return until they have found you and sought revenge. They are extremely enraged and regret the fact that they were not able to take part in the battle previously. They are extremely remorseful of their actions, that they did not participate before, and they have such anger to confront you that I have seldom seen such severe anger. Abu Sufyan replied that, "Curse be upon you. What are you saying? It seems that you will not leave from here until you see the foreheads of the horses." This is a proverb, which means that he will not return until they are destroyed. Abu Sufyan then stated that, "By God, we have unanimously decided to overpower them and to completely uproot them." Ma'bad then said that, "I must advise you to stop what you are doing, for the dreadful scenes I have witnessed have compelled me to compose some couplets." Abu Sufyan said, "What are those couplets?" Ma'bad then recited the following couplets: Which means, when horses of the most sublime breed arrived in groves, it was nigh that the sounds of their hoofs would startle my camel, whereby it stumbles and falls. In fact, there was only one horse there at the time, but in his poem he set out the scene through such exaggeration that it scared them. He then continued and said that they were carrying lion like brave warriors on their backs. They are not small in stature, nor without their weapons in the battlefield, nor are they inexperienced riders. In other words, they are experts and armed with bow and arrows and swords, as well as being peerless in the art of horse riding. He then said, "Upon this, I raced to deliver the news, but it felt as though the world was crumbling beneath the feet of those horses which carried the mighty and powerful general who is not alone." In other words, he was advancing with his formidable army. He then said, "I said to myself, O ye who are part of this army, fighting will be the end of Ibn Harb, i.e. Abu Sufyan, when the battlefield will reverberate. I warn every intelligent and wise person of the Quraysh about the mighty army of Ahmad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose warriors are not inept or deprived. There are no words with which I can warn you of the dread of the army I speak about." Thus, the nerve-shattering conversation with Ma'bad and also his couplets, as well as the words of Safwan bin Umayyah, broke the courage of Abu Sufyan and his compatriots. They became anxious and overawed, and Abu Sufyan deemed the safest course of action to get back to Makkah as soon as possible. In relation to this, the research cell has written a note stating that the conversation in which the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, told Ma'bad to break the resolve of Abu Sufyan is recorded in some books of history and not mentioned in others. And so, one possibility is that this directive was a military strategy in which the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said this to Ma'bad. But it is also possible, and it is closer to reality, that he did not say anything to him. However, since Ma'bad was so sympathetic to the Muslims, that is why Allah the Almighty placed this in his heart, that he said all this to Abu Sufyan of his own accord. Nonetheless, this is the note they have written, and whatever Ma'bad said, he did so of his own accord. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, did not say to him to mislead them through false statements. However, the way he described them caused the disbelievers to become frightened. In the same time, the army of the disbelievers was preparing to return to Makkah. A caravan of Abdul Qais passed by Abu Sufyan. They had camped in the same place, and so Abu Sufyan asked him where he was heading to, which he replied that he was going to Medina. Upon this, Abu Sufyan wished to launch a personal attack, and as means of propaganda, which obviously failed, he said, "Will you pass on a message to Muhammad, peace be upon him, from me? And in exchange, I will give you camels laden with raisins from the Ukaz market." He replied that yes. And so Abu Sufyan said that when you meet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, tell him that we have unanimously agreed to march upon you and your companions so that we can uproot those remaining once and for all. And we are right behind you. Having said this, he left Makkah, and this caravan met at Hamra al-Asad. And Abdul Qais conveyed what Abu Sufyan and his companions said to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Upon hearing all of this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated, "Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil," that sufficient for us is Allah, and an excellent guardian is He. In any case, there was a brief stay at Hamra al-Asad, after which the Muslims returned, because the disbelievers had already left. And the details of this are as follows, that after hearing Ma'bud Khuzai's words, Abu Sufyan abandoned his intentions of attacking Medina and departed for Makkah. Ma'bud informed the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, about Abu Sufyan's departure through a messenger. And the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, remained at Hamra al-Asad from Monday to Wednesday, after which he returned to Medina. And Baladri states that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was away from Medina for 5 days during this journey. And according to one narration, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, returned to Medina on Friday. Hence, he spent 5 days outside of Medina. Hazrat Abu Ubaidah narrates that before returning to Medina, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had imprisoned Muawiyah bin Mughira. Muawiyah bin Mughira was the maternal grandfather of Abdul Malik bin Marwan. And apart from Muawiyah, Abu Azza Jumuhi was also imprisoned. There is a narration regarding Muawiyah bin Mughira, which is as follows. Hazrat Zaid bin Harsa and Hazrat Ammar bin Yasir killed Muawiyah during their journey back from Hamra al-Asad to Medina. And the reason for this was that Muawiyah was hiding in Medina and providing its enemies with inside information. And when he was caught, he sought the protection of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This is why Hazrat Usman sought permission from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to grant him protection. And upon granting permission, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, instructed that he should leave within 3 days, and if he was to be seen after 3 days, he would be killed. However, he continued to stay there beyond the 3 days in hiding. Thus, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, instructed both Hazrat Zaid bin Harsa and Hazrat Ammar bin Yasir that they would find him hiding in such and such place. And so they both found him hiding in that very place and killed him. Then it is further recorded that at that very place of Hamra al-Asad, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, imprisoned Abu Azza, who was a poet for the idolaters. This is the same Abu Azza who was imprisoned by the Muslims during the Battle of Badr, and whilst presenting his state of poverty and lone daughters to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, he stated that, "I am a family man, my daughters have no one to provide for them, have mercy on me." Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, freed him without taking any ransom on account of his daughters. And he vowed that he would no longer wage war against the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, nor would he gather an army against him, and nor would he incite anyone against the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. But despite that, he broke his vow by accompanying the Quraysh during the Battle of Uhud, and he would impassion and provoke others with his poetry to fight against the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, prayed that he be not spared on this occasion. Hence, it so happened that he was imprisoned, and according to one narration, after the Battle of Uhud, when the idolaters stayed at Hamra al-Asad, they left Abu Azza sleeping there, and until dawn he remained sleeping there, oblivious. And Hazrat Asim bin Sabit was the one who apprehended him, and he was the only idolater to be imprisoned during this expedition. And according to another narration, it was Hazrat Umair bin Abdullah who took hold of him. After being caught, Abu Azza was brought before the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Upon seeing the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, show me kindness and let me go on account of my daughters. I vow before you that I will never repeat my actions again. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that no, now you will never have the chance to see Mecca again. And according to another narration, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said, from now on, you will never sit by Hajar al-Aswad with your beard and boast that I have fooled Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Then the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, instructed Hazrat Zayd to smite his neck. And according to another narration, this instruction was given to Hazrat Asim bin Sabit, after which the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that a believer cannot fall in the same trap twice. The remaining accounts will be mentioned in the future, inshallah. Continue to pray for the conditions of the world. May Allah the Almighty protect every Ahmadi from every kind of harm. At this time, I will be leading the funeral prayer in absentia of respected Faraz Ahmed Tahir, who was martyred just recently in Australia. It is reported that during this incident, an Australian man attacked him with a knife in a shopping mall in Bondi, one of Sydney, Australia's most well-known areas. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Verily to Allah we belong and to him shall we return. The deceased worked as a security guard in the shopping mall. He was 30 years old and was not married. During this incident, 12 people were injured and 6 people were killed. Among the 6 that were killed, 5 were women. Faraz Ahmed Tahir Sahib was originally from Rabwa. In 2018, he migrated from Pakistan to Sri Lanka. After staying there for 4 years, he came to Australia through UNHCR, and just last month, he acquired his security license. And the day on which he died was the first day he was working a day shift. He used to work during the night, but it was his first time working during the day. According to the details reported, when Faraz Ahmed Tahir saw people running in panic, he came forward to stop the attacker. Upon this, the attacker stabbed him and he was not able to recover from his injury. He was the first to be killed during this incident. His family entered the fold of Ahmadiyyat through his great-grandfather, Mia Ahmed Sahib, who was a resident of Shahpur district. And the grandfather of the deceased, Sufi Ahmed Yar Sahib, has had the honour of serving the community for a long time. His father, Bashir Ahmed Sahib, passed away in 2005, and his mother, Razia Begum, passed away in 2014. The deceased is survived by 3 brothers, 2 sisters, and his grandfather, Sufi Ahmed Yar Sahib. According to further details, the Prime Minister of Australia and the Premier of New South Wales have paid tribute to the bravery and sacrifice of the late Faraz Ahmed Tahir. Similarly, the High Commissioner of Pakistan in Australia also paid tribute to the bravery of the late Faraz Ahmed Tahir and expressed his condolences and ensuring his full support. There have been more than 120 reports published in the media about the deceased and this incident, and more continue to be published. His funeral was today in Australia, which was attended by the Premier, the Prime Minister and others who pay tribute to him once again. The bravery and sacrifice of the late Faraz Tahir Sahib is being expressed on social media in beautiful words, and many people are calling him a national hero. This sacrifice which he made shows that he did not leave Pakistan for fear of death. Rather, he left the country because he had grown weary of the religious restrictions placed upon Ahmadis, where Ahmadis are stopped from saying even the name of Allah and His Messenger, peace be upon him. The National President of the Majlis Khudamul Ahmadiyya Australia, Adnan Qadir, says that on Sunday, 21st April, a program was held by the Australian government near the shopping mall to pay tribute to those who lost their lives in this incident. The event was attended by the Australian Prime Minister, Premier of New South Wales, the opposition leader, members of parliament, local mayor and the mayors of other councils, top officers of the police, army and navy, many members of the media and leading officials from other sectors, and members of the Jamaat were also invited to this event. His older brother, Mudassar Bashir, says that the deceased was a hard-working, cheerful and fearless boy since his childhood. He was 11 years old when our father passed away. He says that our elder brother, Muzaffar Ahmed Sahib, raised us like a father. And along with his studies, the deceased would help our brother in his business. He was very hard-working and loved his siblings very much. He was gentle and cheerful. He never became upset at anything his siblings did. He was also at the forefront of taking part in Jamaat activities. And during his time living in Pakistan, then in Sri Lanka, and then Australia, essentially wherever he lived, he was active in giving duties for the Jamaat. He very sincerely and loyally loved Khilafat, and he had desired that upon receiving his nationality, he would go to London to meet Khalifatul Masih. This was his desire. And his younger brother, Shiraz Ahmed, says that he would recite the Holy Quran very beautifully and was regular in offering his daily prayers. Kamran Mubashir Sahib, a missionary, says that a good quality which I observed in the deceased was that he greatly respected elders and missionaries of the Jamaat. He would never refuse any sort of instruction received from them, and if ever his attention was drawn towards a mistake he had made, he would never become upset over it. Rather, he would remain silent out of humility whilst accepting his mistake, and then he would try to rectify it. One of his friends, Ahmed Ibrahim, says that the deceased possessed an extraordinary love for the faith and Khilafat. He respected the communities of his bearers and was regular in offering the daily prayers. I had developed the relationship of a brother and friend with him, and even if I ever told him off about something, he would look down and listen and say that he would not let the opportunity arise in the future for such a complaint to be made again. He was a very cheerful and loving person. The local president of the Jamaat in Brisbane says that last month in March, he came to Brisbane for a week to meet his friends and relatives. He said that he had come to seek forgiveness and make amends with anyone who had any enmity or complaint against him. And he continuously asked for forgiveness from everyone. It almost seemed as if he had come to bid everyone farewell. Another friend of his, Shajar Ahmed, says that he was hard-working, fearless, and conscious of his responsibilities. The other security guard who was injured alongside him said that as soon as the attacker entered the shopping mall and he saw people running, the deceased tried to stop him, exhibiting great bravery by standing in front of him and offering his life in order to protect others. People are also paying tribute to Faraz Tahir Sahib on social media. Chris Murphy, for example, writes in his comments, "I noticed a smartly dressed security guard, Faraz Tahir, patrolling at Westfield Shopping Centre when I was there before the slaughter began. He was a hero who gave his life trying to protect others." A lady, Rebecca Ibris, writes, "Faraz Tahir left his country to be saved from cruelties and came to Australia to find peace and a better future. He was well liked amongst his community. He gave his life to save others. My condolences to his family and community. This is a horrible tragedy." And there are many similar comments which people have made from both those who saw the events at the shopping mall and those who read about it. A student from Jamia Ahmadiyya Rabwa, Hasoor Ahmed, says that Faraz Tahir was my cousin. He was a good person. He was regular in offering the 5 daily prayers and advised others to do the same. He would always meet me with a smile, and he considered me to be his younger brother. Whenever he had to explain something, he would do so in a very loving manner. He would always request for prayers, saying that, "I will pray for you. Please pray for me as well." He says that he called me for the last time on the day of his martyrdom when it was 4 in the morning in Australia. His older brother said to him that it was 4 in the morning and he had to go to work as well, and so he should go to sleep. Upon this, he replied that I have just offered the tahajjud prayer and I have prayed for all of you, and I will offer the fajr prayer and then leave for work, and there is no time to sleep. This was his first morning shift. He had previously worked the night shift, and he further writes that this is the third martyrdom in our family. First was my uncle Muhammad Nawaz Sahib, who was martyred on 11th September 2012 in Urangi town, Karachi. And then his uncle Ijaz Ahmed Sahib was martyred on 4th September 2013 in Urangi town, Karachi. And now Faraz Ahmed Sahib has been martyred. And as I said before, he showed that he did not leave his country for the fear of death. Rather, he left to find religious freedom. May Allah the Almighty elevate his station and grant patience and forbearance to his family.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل والاحسان وايتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر